بسم الله. الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد, I apologize for the delay. First of all, and then inshallah ta'ala, after thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him subhana, and asking for His tawfiq in attaining beneficial knowledge and doing this for His face subhana, we continue from where we left off with regards to the Majalis of Ramadan from the Alama Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. What did we do last lesson? We talked about different categories of people with respects to fasting. And the first was what? Or one of them were? Yeah. Al-Aqil. Muqim. Somebody who has sound intellect. Somebody who's not a traveler. And he's reached the age of adulthood. And he's able to fast, and he doesn't suffer from any terminal illnesses. This person is obligatory for him to fast, based upon the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ وَشَهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. And whoever witnesses the month of Ramadan, then let him fast. The second category is who? A child, baligh. And this individual, this sabi, this child, who hasn't reached puberty, so this child who has not reached puberty, this sabi, what is the rule in regards to his fasting? It's not obligatory. Based upon which proof? The hadith of Rasulullah where he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the pen has been lifted for three, and they are the one who is sleeping up until he wakes, and the second, a child until he reaches puberty, and the one has lost his mind. And the child until he reaches puberty, we mentioned there are different ways to see and know when a child has reached puberty. From those, the first one, wet dream or ihtilam or al-mani, wet dream or semen exerts from him. Secondly, pubic hair and so forth. And thirdly, if for example he doesn't reach or he doesn't have these signs to show that he's an adult at the age of 15, then he's considered an adult based upon what the proof. It's the opinion of Imam Ahmed and Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu Hanifa says it doesn't matter, we have to wait until when he does have these signs. But Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that it's 15. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Uhud, and he was what? 14. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he allow him to fight? No. And he came to Khandaq, the battle of Khandaq, when he was 15. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him. So therefore, if he's allowed to do something like a battle and so forth, then obviously from there he can do other types of obligations, like for example fasting and so forth. The next category of individuals regards to fasting was the harim. Who is who? The harim is what? An old man who has lost his mind. He's senile. An old man who has lost his mind, or he is senile. And this individual, is it obligatory for him to fast? That's another category. Okay, that category, that individual falls into the same category as the person who's lost his mind, i.e. the pen is lifted. But the second category is an individual, the next category is an individual who sometimes his mental capacity is there and sometimes it's not. Sometimes he's sane and sometimes he's not. So the ulama have said that when he's sane, he has to fast. And when he's not, then the pen is lifted. The fifth one we're going to mention now, may Allah preserve you all, is an ajiz an siyam ajizan mustamirran la yurja zawaluhu. And this is the next category, an individual who is unable to fast, and he's because he has something that is continuous or terminal illness that it's not going to come back, it's not going to go away, inshallah. So this individual has a terminal illness that's going to be there. And the Sheikh says, like somebody who's old and he has a disease like cancer and so forth. The Sheikh says, فَلَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ السِّيَامِ, that this individual is not obligatory for him to fast. And then the Sheikh used the proof of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا سَتَعْتُمْ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fear Allah as you are able to. Fear Allah as you are able to. And this individual who has cancer and so forth, this terminal illness, he's not able to fast. So Allah has forgiven him for that. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَ, Allah doesn't burden a soul the more than that they can bear. So the Sheikh says this individual here who has not got the ability because of a terminal illness, it is not obligatory for this person to fast. But what is obligatory upon him is that he feeds masakin, poor people. He feeds them for every day in which that he can't fast. So he feeds the poor individual for every day in which he can't fast. And then the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this is almost like what he could do, for example, is he could give them food, or he can feed them. He can give them food. And he mentions Sheikh here where he says half a kilo and a tenth of a gram. Half a kilo and a tenth of a gram of something like barley he can give to this individual. Or he can make a meal for him. And that will be expiation for his inability, or fidya for his inability to fast. And this is for the individual who has a terminal illness in which la yurja zawalu, that there's no hope for him to be cured, that he in its place has to fast, has to feed the poor. And this is because, as we mentioned a few last week, that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that fasting came through two different stages. What were they? You are able to? Now, the first stage that fasting went through, we went through fasting in Islam, is that it was not obligatory, but rather it was a choice. If you could fast, you fast. If not, you feed the poor. And then afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory, so then everyone had to fast who had the ability and so forth. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says that because of the initial ruling of Islam, when it wasn't obligatory that you had to feed, this is why this individual has to feed. Because he falls back into that category. And then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, he mentions a narration from Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, where Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَأَمَّا الشَّيْخِ الْكَبِيرِ إِذَا لَمْ يُتِقِ السِّيَامِ فَقَدْ أَطْعَمَ أَنَسٌ بَعْدَمَا كِبِرْ أَعْمَانِ O Amin, kulli yawm miskinan khubzan wa lahma. He mentioned a narration from Imam Bukhari in his Sahih that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, when he reached the age, old age, because Anas ibn Malik he lived over 100, from the du'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and which is why some of the ulama, they use the death of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu as that when we say the generation is for meaning 100 years, because he's the last of the Sahaba to die. So when the Prophet said in the hadith of Anas, ironically, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ, i.e. the best generation is my generation, then those after them, and those after them. They say, the ulama, from the because of the death of Anas was after 100, that the first generation is up to 100 years. Because he was the last of the companions to die. He was from the last of the companions to die. In Kufa, for definite, and there's difference of opinion in regards to other places. But in Kufa, definitely, he was the first, last of the companions to die, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. In any case, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings this narration of Imam Bukhari where he said, as for the Shaykh that's old, okay, and he's not able to fast, for verily Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when he reached an old age, 2 years or a year after that, he would feed for every day that he was supposed to fast a miskeen, somebody who's poor, with meat and bread. So this is the different methods that we can use. You can use barley, meat and bread, feeding an individual every day, or we can actually give them barley, as I said, and as Sheikh Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, it's like half a kilo, an eighth of a gram. And then the Sheikh mentions the sixth category. What was the fifth category again? Unable to fast because he's terminally ill. And this individual, it's not obligatory for him to, but rather he can do what? And how much can he, how can he do that? Or he can feed them. And Anas fed meat and bread. Now, jayid. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the sixth category of individuals with regards to fasting. And this is the musafir. This is the traveling individual, the traveler. What's the rule in regards to the traveler and fasting? The Shaykh has mentioned, it's quite a long explanation. I've summarized it. We can put it into four categories of fast, the people who travel. The first is the individual who travels intentionally in order to avoid fasting. The first category, and this is the sixth category, and that is the person who is traveling, the traveler. Now, within this category, we have different types of travelers. The first one is the individual that travels with the intention, and he travels in order to avoid fasting. He travels so he can go to, for example, he's in Shepherd's Bush, Methelen, and he wants to go to Northampton or whatever, so he can call himself a traveler in order to avoid fasting. This individual, the Sheikh Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he said, it's obligatory for him to fast and it's a sin for him to break his fast. So that's the first category, the individual who fasts with the intention of avoiding fasting. Also, he travels with the intention of avoiding fasting. And the Sheikh said that, so it's important that the individual does not have that intention. The second category of individual is the traveler who travels and he doesn't intend in traveling to avoid fasting. The person who travels, but he doesn't intend in avoiding fasting. He actually has to travel, whether it's his job, as the Sheikh mentioned, for example, a pilot, or whether he's a taxi driver who drives from Mecca to Medina, as they do, or Medina to Mecca, in the times of Ramadan, for example, in order to earn money for his welfare and his job and so forth. The Sheikh explains this in detail. And in summary, the Sheikh says that if it's difficult for this individual to fast, if it's difficult for this individual to fast and it brings mashaqqa and it brings harm to him, then it's better that he breaks his fast. So we can actually categorize this second category, and that's the individual who travels without the intent of avoiding fasting. We can categorize him and say that within that category, we have individuals who find fasting difficult and it's harmful for them when they travel to fast. The Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it's better that he breaks his fast. But as for the individual who doesn't find it difficult and this doesn't harm him in any way, then it's better that he fast. But underlining all of that, the traveler has a choice. It's better. It doesn't mean he's sinning. The traveler has a choice. And then the Sheikh brings a few narrations, rahimahullah ta'ala, and from those is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were traveling, and this is like the fourth or third category of individual, and this is the individual who fasts when he's traveling and it's detrimental to his health. This is the person who fasts when he's traveling and is detrimental to his health. And the Sheikh brings the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a hot day and the companions were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting. And his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were fasting too. And one of them would be so hot that he would use his coat to, yani his cloak to cover him in order to shade him from the sun. And it was very, very difficult and punishing for them in that situation. And one of the companions said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they won't stop fasting unless you stop fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ stopped fasting, and most of the companions stopped fasting too. But some companions, they continued fasting. Some companions, they continued fasting, even though the fasting was detrimental to their health. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ulaika al-usa, ulaika al-usa." These people are sinners. These people are sinners, because the Prophet ﷺ has given them the rukhsah, the ability or the freedom for them to break their fast, due to the fact that he ﷺ knew that it was difficult for them and it was detrimental to their health and so forth. So he broke his fast in order for them to break the fast. But some companions did that, and the Prophet said that they are sinners in that respect, and they are sinners in that respect. So that's the issue for the traveling one. The Sheikh then mentions the fourth category of person who's traveling. The Sheikh said, إِذَا قَدَمْ الْمُسَافِرِ إِلَى بَلَدِهِ فِي النِّهَارِ رَمَضَانْ مُفْتِرًا لَمْ يُصِحْ صَوْمُهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. The Sheikh mentioned after that the fourth category of a traveler, and that is the individual who started traveling from his city and he wasn't fasting. And then he reached the city that he was traveling with, and then he wants to start fasting now. Yani it's during the day. The Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this person's fasting is not accepted. That this person's fasting is not accepted. The Sheikh said, why? Because he started the day breaking his fast, so he has to complete the day breaking his fast. And then the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, brought the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Man akala awwal al-nahar falyakul akhirhu." Where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Whoever starts eating in the beginning of the day, then let him complete his day eating." And the Sheikh said, this is a proof that if an individual is traveling, for example, he travels after Fajr and he eats, and when he reaches, he feels, you know, I can fast. It's not permissible for that individual to fast. He should start how he finished. He should start how he finished. طيب, inshallah, that's enough for Majalis Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue, inshallah, tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to that. And now we go on to Ha'iyya, bi'ithnillah, and take some benefit from that. Any questions with regards to the fasting? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Yes. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yeah. If it's a sin or not. Yeah, that's a different situation though. Do you understand? You know, that's a different situation. But the correct opinion is that he has to fast. He's doing it on purpose. That's the correct opinion, clearly. Because he's avoiding the ibadah. He's avoiding ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to fast, and he's avoiding it. The fourth category was the individual who leaves his town. Okay. And is that the fourth one? What's the fourth one? Within number six. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say now.
Yeah.
That is that the individual who starts off the day in Ramadan and breaking his fast, yani he's eaten, and when he's traveling, and then he travels, okay? When he reaches where he's traveling to, he has to, and he wants to fast, he has to continue how he began the day, without fasting. And he brought the narration of Abdullah Masud, where he says, whoever starts eating, then let him in the day, let him end the day eating. Okay?
You see, the one who has sickness, and there's not a hope for him to be cured. Is it possible for him to give the whole month money that he might get some miskin? He said, all Ramadan, I'm going to get money to cover the whole Ramadan. He said, feed him every day.
I don't know. And what is Afdal is following the Sunnah. And the way of the Salaf, and we can do what I understand. What is the latter? That's Afdal.
The one about Al-Karim, no?
Mm.
Is he have to
No. No, because the pen's lifted. Yeah, he's not mukallif. He's not part of those individuals who have been ordered to do actions, like the child. Okay, like when you're sleeping, you're not being ordered to do actions, so there is no fidya. Understand? So then at the harim, the person whose mind is lost, he's on the manzil of somebody who's majnun, who's insane. So he's like that person who's insane, who's lost his mind. So he's the pen is lifted from that hadith of the Prophet. But as for the person whose mind is sound, but he has an illness that's terminal, he doesn't come into that. Because he's sane, but he's just sick. And it's from the tafsir of it, Abdullah ibn Abbas as well. As for the woman who's pregnant and so forth, this is a major issue amongst the scholars. We'll go to that, but that's something different.